küvet. Neyse. Halbi. Elu. Saygım. Övedim Sürhanim. And the desire was to cure the meeting cures at the that is his same road to it. Both of those raise their memory and a foreknowledge. Questioning children, questioning sons, questioning youth. I was going 2 points. That's what I'm going to take into account. A way of preparing us to anticipate questions might be raised, and not only preparing us, challenging us, many of us, not to wait till one is blindsided, so to speak, but via, and should be, maybe, to watch people pray. First, the period bow, 2 points. As out of those that look guilty, as familiar to us from the Haggadah, from the Haggadah Seder, to add 1 point to what they're familiar to us. Chazal, collating both the sukkahs we have in Bo, and those such as we have in West Chanan, Seder Dvarim, speak of Abba Barim, and Chazal there analyzed the Pshutim, differentiated the various questions, the mindset, spirit, which questions you raised. The variable which advice us take note is essentially one: mood, the attitude, the capabilities, the capacity, or it's not the question the capacity and the ability, but with attitude. And above all, familiar to us. As I just said on various occasions, if I differentiate the questions raised with above all, perhaps not exclusively a function of ability, knowledge. Parshim Bo, I think we can distinguish additional variable. Should I say a sense to bring me here this afternoon? Once the point is addressed somewhere in the middle of the parshim, a second time as a conclusion. We perceive, however, that the respective questions are asked under different circumstances, apart from the character, the mood, for the question. Shmatem the Devar Zeh למחוק לחומר בדרך עד עולם. והיה כתבו אל הארץ אשר השם לכם כאשר דיבר, ושמרתם את העבודה הזאת. והיה כי יבוא לכם בניכם מה העבודה הזאת לכם. אמרתם זה בפסח ולשם שפסח בתים לישראל ומצרים ופרוי מצרים ובתי מצי וכל זה הרבה השתחרו. This is the first question. That which the Akkadah is describing verily to the Russian. Towards the end, what I would suggest, maybe the import, the impact of the venue of the question. I wish you understood with an eye to early Zionist history, by history of which has echoes and continuity today as well. The kind of business over here, asking questions, they were troubled, stupefied. The person as such. They want to know something else. Look at the aspirin for a long period of time. And there we were alienated, we were segregated, we were discriminated against. Our identity was forged there to some extent. And within that context, we do not have a normal state, normal community, normal society, but there is a foreign intrusion within a more universal context where every nation has its identity, has its institutions. We didn't have that. We're outsiders. To be outsiders, we needed, as many had earlier suggested, something to keep us head keep our heads above water. We didn't have a normal identity, a normal community. These something is relatively artificial. We need community centers. We need shuls, we need a tefillah. We need, to some extent, educational context. We're in, to some extent, in some way, our identity preserved. Well, we were living as Jews, the stack deck, seeking to survive in the face of a load of dice. So they were needed institutions such as Pesach, a religious way of life. Language, dress, in some way or another, distinguishing us from our surroundings. But, come to us to soil. Eretz is so many lands, nations will be swallowed up by us. And henceforth, we are the ones who are in command. We live in the contours of this, of the country in which we live. In my way, that's Lachan. We can understand that such a thing is called Pesach, which is necessary. But why do you need it? Now, why do we need it? As long as you were in some kind of sociological, physiological desert, the necessity was felt. But now, what had been him, why would I do it like him? To Ma, I have similar questions. There are various occasions, I've never touched upon this one point. Has a double significance. Sometimes it's a factual question. What is this? Why is this? And that calls for a factual answer. Sometimes someone asks you why you're doing something. The suggestion is you ought to be doing it. Why ought you not to be doing it? It's superfluous. It's irrational. Is a part of one's normal surroundings. Why are you doing that? It's a deviation from what you were expecting. So that someone will assume and ask, why are you doing this? Now that implicit thump on the understanding, then, it's a purely factual question. The factual answer will suffice. But it's not a factual question, but a rational question, a philosophical question. Why this, why that, and who needs it? That point is full of solution. The first point is, first question, this is not an inquiry, this is a challenge. A challenge to this attempt on the part of the community and its leadership to impose, to superimpose identity alignment traditions and its lifestyle. And acquire some full explanation to just what happened, why it happened, and how it happened. And to explain the sense that the commandment itself, which about them, appears twice in those two sutras that I read there. Twice Shmir. You can't take it for granted that just because you live in a country, and it's an army, and it's an economy, and it's an educational sphere, and it's a government, not let things go for themselves, and let that whole phalanx of institutions and societal factors preserve national identity, which have acceptance of language and literature, etc., etc. That is to be explained. And it's only after it's explained that the kodam is shtachavu. Then the settler takes into account the possibility of moving on to a tzvah as well. But the two elements raise a question, and the answer which the parent, the educator, is to prepare are not hinged together to the same extent as the earlier question. And the tone of the question, by which we can also understand its content, is quite different. Rashi the Mechilta speaks with the Mazdos as a tam, a simpleton, someone who's ignorant, not too philosophically inclined. But it's just strange to him. He doesn't quite understand what it's all about. But that kind of question might be raised a little later, but it's not exclusively confined to get into us to swear. Simply the passage of time, go distance oneself, one's community, early history of national identity, that requires the answer to. But that's a question in the Mazurs. She's not confined. Once you get to the soil, then suddenly it seems to you that what you previously had, that whole baggage, is thus superfluous. Question Mazurs might be asked by a simpleton within the Asherah context itself. The sheer fact of machal, long distance, which induces or enables growing alienation. And relatively speaking, the whole experience of more superficial nature, the answer is analogous. Which is not quite as full. It's not focused exclusively upon Pekom Pesach. It's intertwined with Mitzvah Bechor, several Mitzvahs, Be'adom Chobeima. And at the very end, we don't quite know how the ball games will turn out. Child asked, broad strokes and broad outlines. The older generation answers, and the answer she's given is basically not so much about Chol Pesach. The question was raised, a broad question. What the hell is all this about? It all seems strange, it all seems unnecessary. And the explanation is given prior to professors somehow included in somewhere. But only in the corner. The question is more limited. The answer is more comprehensive, but less intensive. And one doesn't quite know the questions being asked of Kusars would indeed lead to a Kodavi Shtachavu, or measure of assimilation, loss of identity, a national capitulation in a quest for somehow a more reasonable, more rational existence. Anyone familiar with Christian Zionism knows very well what this whole process is all about. Zionism, which is preached then, had two primary themes. One theme was the haven in the homeland where sheer Jewish survival could be maintained. And the common theme was that we're here to save Jewish survival, Jewish existence. Once that is attained, then the need for some kind of distinctive, endemic culture could be dissipated. Then we will lead a normal societal, socio-political, economic life and strive for normalcy. Part of normalcy, shedding the foreign alien identity which developed over millennia earlier. And there were for a long time at various levels of various strains those who bought the ideology and thought Christ to be paid was that very substantial. So I went even further to obtain and to advance the insurgents of Canaanite culture. In a doubt such as that, so large measure is bankrupted. And for the importance of Israel, Yad Israel, as they were in the homeland, and the importance of that is hardly exaggerated, which does not suffice. And we are here to learn to properly disseminate, to live it, to rich enhance that which we received from the Golas, and which we seek to transplant, returning to our homeland, though that just implies, including the challenge to answer questions in us as well, but not only those which might occur to young people because they live in us as well. And the awareness that Maslow's is a question which confronts us in order to understand what it means to be Jewish, what it means to be Aventurer. And that is a facet of Jewish uniqueness, of Belskin and Bekodesh. But it's something which also needs to be borne in mind when confronts sociological, cultural reality of Jews in the Kutzlaritz, where ironically, paradoxically, for many, the need to maintain the sin identity is clear. I don't know whether you've confronted these people wherever you live, but many Israelis, when they live in that soil, do not train the children to cross the threshold of a shul. They get to New York, and ask how come when they get elsewhere, they realize that they don't want their children to come very well together and send them to Yeshiva. First, of course, maintaining our culture is not simply a way of maintaining our existence. Maintain our culture, our way of life, Torah b'Zvah Hashem, Malach b'Zvah Hashem, Nevuah b'Zvah Hashem. And that precludes questions. And very often, dictates to some extent the content, the character, the inclination which stands behind the bush. I mentioned this, but we've tried to understand the parshas and bow in a way that they should be understood. It's not meant to foreclose someone from Kutzlaritz being in us as well, telling them you shouldn't be asking either the Kutzlaritz questions or the other questions. You can ask both. Both are part of our challenge being in us as well. Seen to it, the Dam Kodesh, in Asa Kodesh, the juncture is full and profound. So, make sure we prelude to our discussions this afternoon. And so, it's from our Ryan, the desire to have greater, full opportunity to raise some issues. between bed and what?
Is there any greater inherent value to the Gzeirot and Takanot of Rabbanan other than just being protecting valuable and basic halachot from the right level?
Yes, what's the rationale for twist for the Talmud and Takanos? Is that the question?
Not necessarily the rationale, but is there? I guess the rationale, but is there inherent value to it other than protecting Dorei Dolos?
Depends on can raise, do raise certain questions in our minds. And the question is the obvious one. The Mishnah gave it to you, so he, at one level, good enough for him. What happens later on, Chabad has to come along. He says, no, the Mishnah is Torah, that's not sufficient. We need something else. But the Mishnah says one of the three elements set down by Shas Adela as being the linchpin of Jewish existence back in Eretz Yisrael. It's a Siyag letter. What's Siyag? Analogous to another word which Chazal used in another context, Mishmeres Mishmalti. Mishmeres Mishmalti can have one of two primary aims. One may be a very conservative one. Actually, I said later, when they gave us that council, we're very much concerned with preservation, with conservation. Bear in mind, if you talk about Shiva Tzion, which is where the main thrust of the Rabbanan element becomes more and more powerful, who's about to make a friend? We don't have, as far as I know, figures about population trends in times of Chum, prior to Babel. No, just how many were in Babel. Well, one statistic. I'll say that says Allah such as Chala, according to the Rambam, to Shemais as well, which could not be sustained midaraisa at the time by Sheini, but it wasn't Bias Kucha. It wasn't a mass national uprooting, homecoming. Therefore, if you had a relatively smaller group that did not enable us to maintain a full command, a full authority of ours, and then these things became one of the Rabbanus, which had to be maintained by certain powers. The option, the alternatives were either to let these pieces go over the board altogether, or you want to keep them alive, you be Dabban. And the various things they talked about, Sadila, Sunni Bedin, not to go jump off the handle, to Magda bin Rabbe, all with an eye to maintain what you have. And what you had was far from perfect. 42,000 people who came, apart from being a small, relatively small minority, like Kulu Soluk, which is an understatement. And you can imagine what went on when everybody else, the bulk of the majority, were in Bogle. I don't know whether you know such people. I have such relatives. We left this way here. One left other places, and whose neighbors, and some cases whose rabbanim, thought that God stark raving mad. My mother, I shall not end. left Lita with 5 children, left the husband behind until he could be convinced to come along. They came here, settled in Tel Aviv and other places, some observers, some non-observers, but they were here. This is one aspect of maintaining the same level, the same ideals, the same reality, for whatever reasons the Rishon has for certain mitzvahs. Those mitzvahs could at some point be undermined for all kinds of sociological reasons. And in many cases, Chazal sued the Rabbanans because they were critically, crucially needed in order to inculcate, in order to internalize certain values, certain ideals, just to maintain the level. But by solution, you went to ask someone. So you went to by solution. We see Rebbe Shach, the cover was from each lach. The Ramban there says, talks about an era in which there'd be mass apostasy. Mass apostasy. And that says the Ramban is what happened by solution. Separate Kobe, separate Parsha Shlach to deal with such a reality. So, in order to, so some of the people went to love Babel, they went out to Israel. No doubt, many of the neighbors thought it was crazy. Sure. Living in Babel, whatever it is, you have children, you have grandchildren, 7 years, enough time to build a family. So it's not perfect. It's not pop springs, but it's a reasonable existence. Instead, a lechte chayv avi bovel zizurua inverted. Leaving a settled community for one which is surrounded by enemies. It's very challenging reality. And that's one kind of basis that due to certain historical factors, sociological factors, various halachas, various mitzvahs, which could have had, should have had, which were intended to have a flourishing reality at the level which the Rishon would peg them, it wasn't happening. Not as well or as fully as it could have. By Sheni Chazal say, there was a demon of Sinas Chinam, but institutional religion, so to speak, flourished in its own way. Became instituted. Much tale was learned. And that's because the initiative was taken by those with the Tachanas. By solution, the bare elements of a relatively primitive reality. Maintain at least what the Rishon had wanted, had in mind. You needed Mishmeres and Mishmalti. Afraid Mishmeres and Mishmalti, in one respect similar to Siyog HaTorah, that is very different. Siyog HaTorah says simply you need something which encompasses, which protects the core of what you have to. But that can be used in the independent track. Shaz Mishvati means teaching you yourself, your community, your spiritual leadership. The person is wagon. You've had some independent Mishmeros. Much of telling itself is Mishmeros. Many things the person demanded of us were demanded not by way it forms new values. As much as that too. A great deal of it was in order to protect the two levels of the certain levels which are the ideal of the ideal, and others which are to maintain a reasonable, decent human existence. And in order to protect that, you have a second layer, Mishpat Mishpati. These two phrases, to serve the Gospel of Mishnah, in other words, Mishpat Mishpati is combined, which talks about certain kinds of Dabar, the way you promise. And there, one thing goes for itself, Mishmeres, the whole of Taylor Mishmeres. That seems exaggerated, but it sets the stage for our reinforcing Taylor has been given to us and making that more fully and more richly the basis of our existence. That's one level. At that level itself, there are two kinds of Dabbanos. The Dabbanos which try to protect the hardcore of Taylor and its values as represented in Zav Shem and Tehillat Bakrah. And those are, in some cases, the Mishmeres Mishpati does not add anything in terms of values, in terms of culture. It doesn't strive, it doesn't pretend to move from level A to level B. But it does enable level B, level A to exist, to continue to set a tone, set values, standards, and ideals for a Jew and for a Jewish commonwealth to live by. There's another kind of the Dabbanon, which has a different modus operandi. The Dabbanons, don't misunderstand me, the Dabbanons which aim at a communal level, sometimes encompassing the whole community of Israel, to the given community, communal level seeks to upgrade, to raise the bar. Raise the bar means take certain standards, move one level to another. In the time of Pogo, anybody Pogo was 15 feet, we waited to read this. That was your age. That must be about 20 feet, I imagine. I don't know. Guess it. Now maybe this seems strange to you. What? You're going to improve the version of stairs? Chazal, as they interpret to itself, I follow this. The phrase which appears in about one point, which has been for generations, a hallmark of Bnei Yisrael. Kadesh Atzecha B'Mutulach. Rabban speaks another which is a Tevor in me. Means there's a level within the whole system of mitzvahs, tachayim, and derises. You can be a scoundrel living and following all the rules. If you have the wrong motivation, and if you have the wrong emphases, you don't have proper balance, you follow everything, and be alone. A part of that is individual initiative. You need to do for yourself, what I would do for myself. We have a range of opportunities, a range of options. All of them listed in halachic terms. Not all of them necessarily equal in moral and other terms. And a person who is so inclined, a community which is so inclined, can try to negotiate to wind its way within the maze of Dreis Halachos and the planet's moral face. And so, as I understood, so again, partly in the personal plane, partly in the carnal plane, you got to be content only with the Dreis level. And Chazal, there are, of course, there is a sense that the Ramban is the one more than anybody else developed this idea. The Ramban is two-tier conception of Halacha and Teva. At one level, there are many individual Halachas, individual Lagim, individual Atzetze. At another level, in one sense, it's the foundation of the Halach order. In other sense, it's ultimate goal. One sense comes beneath, in other it moves above. And so there's a logic Jew, it's still with a dual sense. A sense of fealty, of loyalty, of obligation to all the details. But at the same time, with striving develop and scale certain values, general values, some related to another brother, whether it's Shabbos, whether it's Messiah Shabbatai, whether it's maintaining a safe distance from the vagaries of his other. There are many such islands to the Ramban, and we need to enrich in order that we not only attain that which is technically formally demanded of us, but in order that those values become more and more part of ourselves, part of our homes, part of our families, that deals with the Ramban. So the Ramban is working on two tracks. One is to maintain that which you had in terms of values. Now that might not necessarily raise your level, but to maintain what you had, Shmes Mishmati is important in its own right. You have always a certain at a personal plane or a national plane, you have two kinds of areas in which you engage. You have value jewels. So keep your safe deposit box. The two goods to be left at home. said about contributes anything to the quality of the state quality of your own, it must be very ugly. But it maintains the jewels as part of your home. And then your paintings hanging on your living room wall, that enhances the state quality too. So don't think all the Rabbanons, how the Machta, being all the same kind, three categories of types. The whole system is geared to enhance their spiritual being. But, well, to one level of religious sense, another level of moral sense, situated, it hangs together per se, and then we hang in there with it, building our lives. We should not be thrown off by the language I've employed, which might frighten some people, to tell they're not perfect. Can I move, I'm not perfect? What is perfect? But to be perfect does not mean that there's a further ascent. It's exactly the kind of the Mutala. Mokshem speak, and the Shor speaks. So the Shor says, he's very, Yoram Sefer, but in two parts. Half is dealing with you as a tzaddik, which doesn't mean what you read today, today means what it's chayim. In Tanakh, the word tzaddik means someone who's innocent, not guilty. Half the Sefer is said simply to be reasonable, not guilty. The other is to be a chosi. To be a chosi, that's the ball game by itself. It is not associated for being a tzaddik, but at the same time we can understand, and we wouldn't imagine otherwise. Everyone should be identical. Kashas Mutalach, that was permitted to you if you were attaining the lower stages. Let's see if we can move up the next couple of feet in the poem board. So the word of the Rabbanans is very rich. There are certain types of questions which are always raised. One of them has to be, what is the relation between the Rabbanon and its Daisa? Now, it may work sometimes, it may be simply an extension of the Daraisa, that's the safety belt, that's the safety part of the box that you have. Sometimes, much more than that, it gives you a richer, fuller spiritual life. But then also sets into motion, sets the stage where you want to go to the next round. Now, if I ask
It just went the worst.
I can't give you an exact answer to that. I have to tend to tell you something which I think I might. I presume there's something in socio-historical circumstances of Rabbi Gershon which convinced him that if he wanted to maintain stability, quality, to some extent, in harmony within a marriage, that there are certain things which he needed to be changed. Need to be but the current reality. In that respect, so he's asking you a question, some extent. He went to ask you a question, doesn't it bother him? He might have used the kind of the church situation. But you're asking me imply that question and by another question why couldn't Rav Gamliel see what Rav Gershon saw? Some things which we currently take for granted it's difficult to understand a geographic cultural, historical, in physical distance. I'm not sure, and so that's a certainty, that were I at that point, just those were, that would trouble with your concerns and your priorities. Priorities today may stress the difference. And some of them have changed even with the best of their mission. Now, of course, when I say that, I don't mean that I think there would be a better world. In fact, I could divorce my wife, you and I don't. I don't know if I should want to divorce her at all. But to try to superimpose at every point correlation between certain almost axiomatic values and those which attain a certain point which see of Taylor we speak of my meaning and by meaning we speak that which the best of that bomb the perfect for that bomb is not always perfect for what we need. But with that revelation, I would imagine the great thing about him today is they have the option to be glad to change, to present the kind of change you mentioned, and yet, see, we do with a sense the Jewish family has survived. Millennia, a powerful moral, religious, spiritual force, building an institution of Jewish family, being a very essential element, and he executed at a time when the community as such was not we were raised, because I grew up in Mount Susan's, and other community schools. That being the case, but to some extent, could, cannot, and should not strive to upset the apple cart throughout the boat on an ongoing basis. The other elements which you and I, and not only you and I, find difficult to fully identify with the better life. I wrote it one time by Kishik Tandon. Kishik Tandon has gone through a history of various stages. The tip of it and the part of the father. As all those institutions, also the part of either Tandon herself or the mother and siblings. His father died. There you had acceptance of the notion at a primary level. A secondary level, you had extension and expansion. Subsequently, God says, I saw the Chicago Chicago. But you have to come over. So you have to give you the legal right to reign such state for your daughter's subsequent married life. You can do it because it may not be that which give her the greatest sense of gratification, excitement. Take that comes along and says, in our reality, where we live, which is partly North Africa, partly Central Europe, we have to continue with the Shitano. What the Rav said, the defiance of the Gemara, we're going to find out. Why don't we find out? But that terrible situation was there, where as long as we didn't have to Shitano, so relatively young girls, Tibetan girls, we kidnapped. And the only way to protect them from being kidnapped was to marry them off when they were not ripe personally and not ripe communally. And that's when the most century was struck. They all came up on the desert soil and said, and we'd say they actually made this kind of statement. In fact, said, we know what's going to happen in the past. We're going to go back to the intermediate stage between Rav and the Bonifacius, and we're going to once again eliminate Yushik Tana. Rav said we'll go a step further. They're just going to eliminate Yushik Tana. We don't want adolescent girls to get married either. Once a girl is 16, 17, or whatever the case may be, get it. Now, that baby, more limited, Takhana, supplies us as well, Kutsas does not fly. Now, one of Kutsas takes pretty much the same approach, same attitude. Here you have a single halakha, which is gone through a number of stages. I presume the same values have been sustained. It's not that the Rav generation, they thought to be very liberal, to go for that girl, to have options, let her marry someone as she wants, what she wishes. And their generation thought differently. They may have had the same values, and most of them had the same values, but the implementation to particular example to fix down there. So you and to me, if you could per se, we're asking. That we want to do to our daughters, that we want that to happen to our sisters, we're asking. And you probably find it very difficult to imagine that the 20th, 21st centuries, a modern girl, and one very educated actress for us, she want that, she accept it. And yet one of the most powerful women in recent history did just that. The Prime Minister of Pakistan, big country. And she said she knows what she wants. And she didn't quite say language, but she wants to, she'd like to choose her own mate. But she knows to choose her mate that's turning her back at centuries of Arab and Pakistani culture. That being the case, she's going to give up something on the American front just to become Prime Minister. That's a pretty very rough. So I still got two questions, I understand. And part of the way to live a full life is to find the proper balance between specifics of all cases and attitude, the outlook, which is at its core, at its center, which you fully identify. Was fully implemented. Even though in some cases as you internalize the details, internalize the values and conceptions. In other cases we internalize the details, and yet if we have the liberty and we're able to do so, we make certain changes. And in due time make sure things will be changed. And those empowered to do so. But certain things which what was possible, they should be the Hashanah, that the Gula, that if Zahu, it's a Hashanah, the natural speed of the Gula. But Zahu is Bita, it's a slow gradual process. And some of the things that you want. You should never imagine that at a certain period when further changes take place in psychological speaking, that even if the locus are not revised in any way, but the groping and the attainment, having a society community which is more conscious of wood on the floor, that hopefully is in the pipeline. Yes.
Given in the modern day that many women are educated in both the Torah and Halakha, should they be able to play a role in the Halakha process?
I get this question every so often. I don't know what's fully what's intended when people ask that question. What they envision the Halakha process. There's certain things which not only women may do and be able to do, which they already do. The many women today learn to, and they publish initiative. They made the voice heard. That's many halakhic and quiz halakhic issues. They don't just sit home and read the Reader's Digest. Many, many women. And I can't tell you that I'm going to project what the pace of should as well as the sale be. If it should come about, I think it would be valuable. If nothing else, give women an option to choose. There are many women, certain segments of the Arab world, who are glad not to have to be in the Gaza crisis. They're glad not to get the dominion. They're glad not to be challenged, to challenge themselves to some extent. But the women want to do it. They said it can't be done. And mercy is being done. It's not fully what maybe we would like. But I've heard the Peskim who are fully at peace with it.
Experience that was Chazal promise
comfortable experience. I'm not. The question that you raise also another question. How wide is the ark which they want to sweep? There's a long history of Tachonis. Well, I get that, right? I look at Fiber and Seder many Tachonis should be made for a particular community. For reasons similar to the question was raised before by girls being kidnapped, etc. There are Tachonis, special Nixais, not all the wild cards. Who said if you have constitution with less than 10 people present, bottle of water, the sheesh. So this is one of the examples of the concept of Shechot Yishminei. If you make it up to Lamed Gimel before the end of this mind, you'll know it clearly. That's a problem. Now the modern world, it's much more difficult to make the total Tachonis. If you had been born 500 years ago in Hamlet in Eastern Europe or a village in North Africa, any Tachonis which you as a love were made, or which the council of Bogla Bonaparte made, or the great fountainheads which he starts talking about, there's over Tachonis in the modern world. Van Abba Otsis, and the Van Litte, and a few bishops involved with him. The Samseko lived in Hungary, his word was law, any Tachonis he wanted to make, he made. At one point, the Samseko was asked, what's my big Tachonis by the post and portion of the Christ? Maybe you should not be able to approach him because good Sunday is tomorrow. Be of a mitzvah, to first his tummy, and partially doesn't enter his whole body in the area of mitzvah. But in a limited area, be of a mitzvah, he sticks his arm in, puts his leg in. Shema mitzvah. For a certain person, mitzvah that's enough. A person by marriage is also enough. They were asked about this, but maybe forbidding people to come here to Jerusalem. Response, he said, listen, I am hungry. And hungry, but I have to say, it carries a lot of weight. In Poland, Lithuania, much less weight. There's a question of how to insist upon imposing authority in the most authoritative way possible, or with the sensitivity right to the long run in the day of the day. At the day of the day, I have more authority. Those are small fish. But that in and of itself does not dictate how much change, how much rate of change, either they didn't want to have or they thought they wanted to have. So I'm not telling you that this capacity for making change is defunct. It's not defunct. It exists. And you have people sitting not a half hour's drive from here who are charged and who were granted authority to make various changes. All kinds of changes going on all around you, which you may not be aware of. But the extent and the pace Some people think it's moderated. Other people think it's not. Mr. Sperber, who's moved to a very wide left turn in the last few years. So if you read what he has to say, that the world, halakhis of the modern world, have a deep freeze. Nothing changed to them. So women, not the delicate, very ordinary woman, took out 19th century history books and showed the world so much change had taken place.
Rosh Hashiva explain his thoughts on Tchelet today?
With one assumption. I had thoughts. All I need to do, unlike what I've been doing until now I've been a very nasty boy, not nice to the Bachim, don't tell them what to do, get Tchelet, not get Tchelet. And once they have the trailers, don't tell them just exactly how to wind the trailers. I'm not invited. White division proportions. How many trailers, how many lovers? The Rashi is the Tish, the Zerayvah is the Rambam. And you would like that instead of being so hidebound, I should be more open. Give you the guidance, maybe if you would, you should be good at it. One thing you could see that I, for the time being, don't wear clothes. So that much guidance you really have, my thoughts. This whole clothes thing is a very interesting sociological phenomenon. So 50, 60 years ago, Tchelet was regarded as a Meshugas, with a Jinnah Sidim, and a Jinnah Rebbe. Big time to talk about. You go to Sefer Kelim, I wish on all of you. Kedash Nenach. But no one, with the exception of Herzog, took Tchelet seriously. Herzog wrote a doctoral dissertation
I want to finish my shlichut each time.
First of all, I was the nation of Tchelet. And the fellows who now went after Tchelet was not the wild profound discovery. They found that the color Tchelet was the description of one kind of color, and the Metzius is a different kind of color. What happened was that they discovered that when a certain strain of a dye was exposed to the sun, its color changed, and it felt along with the boy describes. It's a present, it's a situation which many people find here a little difficult to spell. They're accustomed, that's the way that the media, certain types of media like to play, to present it. They're accustomed to the idea that if you're Haredi, you get chumas and chumas and chumas all stacked one top of the other. If you're Mizrahi, so you compromise there, you cheat a bit over there. That's the way they've been trained by certain kinds of people see the stage. And now it comes to Tchelis bit, and he's upside down. Touch him with the football. I put him right with him. The spirit comes with this yeshiva, and being very close to where we are, where we know there's a virus, there are people who like the threats. And if boys are seriously, they're successful. They can hardly produce enough to satisfy the demand. So it's a sociological phenomenon. If you ask me what my thoughts are, why I don't wear trailers, I don't refuse to do so on principle. And I don't tell you that at some point in the time which Shemeshah graced me, and I won't do it. My problem is rather, it's a joint problem. It involves psychological considerations, moral considerations, and their interaction. As for the Rabbi, you said me, but I have people who are in the league. And thought that the Shemzalman didn't wear tchelis. And the Rav didn't wear tchelis, and the Baal Torah didn't wear tchelis, the Rav didn't wear tchelis. The people who forged and formed my spiritual universe didn't wear tchelis. And some of them lived at the tchelis here in the time of Greenspan they lived. And they did not want to own. So these, the architects of my spiritual life, for whatever reason, and I'm not going to come to them and make demands, for whatever reason they decided they didn't want. And I'm going to see it's going to work for this. I know what you're talking about. No, what are you worried about? They didn't know about it. They never heard Rabbi Greenspan. So therefore they didn't worry. But you have a chance right here. I discussed the issue with any of the people that I mentioned. Some have volunteered their opinions. Don't rely to some extent. It's a part of the conservative claims on his part. He relied on the tradition that he had, the name of his great grandfather, the name of Issa Levy, that one could not disinter a Mitzvah. By which I mean that if a certain mitzvah elapses in its use, so you can feel badly about it. Well, if you were born into a world which didn't have it to begin with, it wouldn't bother you so much. But if you were born into a world which had that, it would bother you a great deal. I have here the mitzvahs which have disappeared. I don't get too frightened. Most of that you a long time ago accepted. Here this is the Mashiach. Paul said the question doesn't bother you. But Rish Levi, my badge was patented by Persian Sivish as well. He said, look, if you want to disinter Tzitzis trailers, get back to having a world with which is more multicolored. How do you do that? So men experimented too. For that you need a living tradition, as we have got tzitzis, we've got the love of tzitzis, etc., etc. Now somebody else has come along and claims that he has a copy of a letter written by the Beis Halevi himself, and that letter, the only thing that's about the advances is we can't have this tzitzis. Who knows, maybe it's something else. Chelis. In other words, it's not the principle that you couldn't just steamroll your way through to love the mitzvah, but that there's love to a doom sailor, the conceptual sailor, and the physical sailor. The conceptual sailor tells you what you need to have the smell of the film. But what the film are, what's cloth, what's sousas, what's grill, that we don't know. If we heard from our grandfathers, we would know too. That was that Dushna also. It is a very conservative way of doing things. And some people are critical of the law and they say, to a servant, a general to a servant. Others felt there was a question, not as a matter of principle, must have someone handing the ball each generation to the next. What you need is, there's no question that every person would have to deal with the tchelis issue solely with an eye to the tzitzis implications. No doubt you should go out in the morning by tchelis. Because if you did not accurately, if you were concerned with its implications, you're missing an entire mitzvah, which admittedly most Shem Paskins is that magiv, but you're missing an extent of quite like you need. The reason that this is a lot of words is a tremendous. You don't want to have an entire element missing, you need to start backing. So it's worse if the best people are right. So you've made a mess of the great colors. That's with Abundant, there may be a bit of a problem. But if the best people are right, you've got tchelis just down the block, a couple of kilometers, a couple of $100, not dollars, it's short of my rise. You missed it nice. At some point, I'm still in a situation where we're seeing the phalanx of luminaries of the island. From the Eilam within which I was born with the Holy Spirit. I don't feel I have enough humility to be able to wear tchelis, but he didn't wear it, and that should not become very arrogant. Becoming arrogant is a very heavy question. mind you, that's just for a moment. The people who wear tchilas are very narrow. I don't know about Shef who wears tchilas. He's a wonderful person. But maybe the most I'm sure where I would be. If I'm not sure that I could integrate and digest this. Yes, there was almond. Two explanations circulated. Why did he wear tchilas? One, my age began to affect me too, I suppose. I was too old to change. This was in his 70s, I believe. In other words, he recalls how the Gina Rebbe of Rosh Hashanah was kept out of the mikveh because he wore tchilas, and then he wanted the mikveh to get tamed by the tchilas. He doesn't want the mikveh to do it to me, but I did too. Now I know full well that Rosh himself. That refusal to be barred at the mikveh, that was an expression of vanity. An expression of his way of saying, I'm not going to be doing all right tchilas. I'm going to present myself, place myself at a level over and above supremely so to my fellow Jews. So people would love it without Christ for 2,000 years, be able to 200 years. So this is not just a citizen's issue. It's all a question of hubris, of dualness. It touches the core of what's like what's our aim, of what's relation to tradition, and the rest of the mission. I tell you again, I might change. See me 2 years by trailers, but I'm around and say, ah, there was something else to sleep, you've been my guy. If I should decide to wear trailers, I hope that won't happen. I do not in any way impose my words in this area anybody else, including my own sons. Does not wear tchilas. My Haredi son in America does not wear tchilas. The mayor, my year at the soil, wears tchilas, so does Shai, my youngest son. And one of my sons in law wears tchilas too. So it's not something which in our home is barred. But to myself, I need more time, not just to think, but to react. There you are. That closes the gates. People's lives being enriched by the people's shape. Do you have it? Can you imagine Hamlet with that loose? Hamlet could say, "Spirit I've seen, maybe a devil, and that's the richest sense of life." Now you can tell me Hamlet needs ghosts. We've got something else. Fine, I buy that too. But so that people secure the world, for whom he believes in ghosts, the devils, the Shaitan, the powerful aspect of spiritual reality. They saw a more spiritual world because that world was inhabited by the Shaitan. Now you're going to try to tell me, wait a minute, it's true, Hamlet is much better played because of the ghosts. But it's the funny world. Yes, be angry with it. That's it. That's what I'm telling you. Just any driver, don't ask you. You can't ask me that. Don't ask you for whom. Options which are available to Hamlet and not available to us, options which are available to me, bring a more scientific perception to our view of the world, but not available to Hamlet. Hamlet was first written, or first played, 1603, 1604, I don't remember now. At the time, when the question of the existence of ghosts was a major philosophical question. Today, we're not sure how many people today really believe in ghosts. So that, to some extent, makes our world less rich, less vibrant. It dilutes our reality. But sometimes you can't help it. Some people just, even if they wanted to believe in ghosts, just can't do it. They come centuries post